You're listening to the best of Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, founder of XL Records, Richard Russell, released his autobiography, Liberation Through Hearing, back in March. If you don't recognise his name, you will definitely recognise some of the artists that he's signed, from Dizzy Rascal to the White Stripes, Gil Scott-Heron to Damon Albarn, and even Adele. I talked to him about working with all of these artists, and let's just jump in here into the interview. First of all, Gil Scott-Heron, I mean, there's the thing of, like, he lived the blues and most people just sing it. You say beautiful, profound, fraught and frightening. Did you, like, I'm New Here was a big album towards the end. Like, a lot of these stories of these three would be like a Johnny Cash thing. Look what happens just before he goes. He releases some of the greatest albums ever, kind of thing. And you were involved with these three people in their last ones. What was it like? Were you there for I'm New Here? Were you in the studio? What was it?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I was working with Gil for 4 years. So for the last 5 years of his life, he was very, very present in my life. So that was a tremendous privilege to do that. Of course, it never occurred to me we were making his last record. Now, I wonder if it might have occurred to him that he was making his last record, and it had a different quality because of that. And of course, we've had these records since then, haven't we? Where with Bowie and Leonard Cohen, where they did know they were their last records they were making. And those records do have a special quality.
Take somebody like Mike Skinner. You get a demo tape. What, like, obviously people sent you demo tapes all the time. What did you find? What were you looking for? Like, you're on a train, you go, this is the greatest thing ever, kind of thing, with this guy. Was that it?
Yeah, I mean, he had that outsider sound where you could tell he wasn't going to fit into the scene that his music was aimed at, but he was going to sort of transcend it in a way, because, you know, he was trying to make this kind of pirate radio music. You know, he called the record Original Pirate Material. And I remember Dizzy saying at the time, but that's us. You know, he was more sort of just outside the scene and kind of commenting on it. But he made something brilliant out of that. And I think, you know, Dizzy also didn't fit in. He didn't fit into any scene when he started as well. I've been compiling some visual footnotes to the record, which I'm going to stick up on YouTube. And I got a clip of Dizzy, you know, and it's like the core audience for that scene. And they're all booing him at the very start. So I think that's interesting to recognise that for anyone out there making music. Like, if you don't fit in, especially at the start, that can be a good sign.
Well, then how did he fit in with you, Dizzy Rascal? Because you say, like, he's not a gangster, but he was alert to the lies and deception that could possibly come his way when you were at a meeting once.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing with, you know, with artists who've got those sort of tougher backgrounds, who've already had to, you know, battle for survival a little bit. I think those things are kind of useful in the music world, because it's cutthroat. I don't know if it's any more cutthroat than, say, movies or fashion, but I think Dizzy just came in, eyes open, ears open, you know, so I think all those things are very helpful in music.
Okay, one of the things, I'll tell you what, I want to play a tiny piece of music now, and everybody knows this, not just football fans, everybody does. Here it goes, take a listen to this. There you go, that's White Stripes, of course. Elephant is the album, and the track is Seven Nation Army. Now, the reason I'm playing it is we're talking here to Richard Russell and the book Liberation Through Hearing. And the funny thing about this, which I don't quite get, like, the album before that was album number 3 for them, and it was White Blood Cells. And White Blood Cells, one of the best albums of this century, no question about it. So you got them, though, for album number 4. I mean, they were absolutely huge at the time. I mean, everybody must have been clamoring to get them if they wanted to move from wherever they were. What exactly happened?
Well, a lot of it was down to Meg.
All right.
So although Meg was a very quiet presence, she was 50% of the White Stripes.
Yeah.
You know, that was part of the extraordinary magic of
it. By the way, was she his wife or his sister?
Yes.
Okay, so, good answer. Okay, go on. Yeah.
I mean, they were written off as like a blues sort of blues update. Like, people were like, well, no one's interested in the blues. That was a kind of thing that went around about the White Stripes. And Leo, who was working with me at the time, I got the record in rough trade, and I actually gave it to Leo, and then Leo gave it back to me and said, it's amazing. And so we listened to it, And we were like, they're incredible. And then we got in touch with them. And Jack liked the idea that his records would come out on something that was perceived to be a dance label. I think just because he thought that was weird. And Meg just got on well with all of us. We just, you know, I mean, it's all about just talking to people straightforwardly. And so they were up for working with us. You know, we still, I mean, Meg has very much retired from music because it, it was too much for Meg because they got really famous and she did not want to be famous. She enjoyed playing the drums, but she was not in it to become a celebrity.
Yeah, funny, like, you know, the books like this, like, it's always great for the anecdotes. And, like, you know, Jack was brilliant, Jack, in terms of Bob Dylan meets him and says, yeah, you know, I'm a fan. You know, and, like, you know, Jack just says, where can I go from here? There's nowhere else. There's no more up. All those little things are great. But let's go on to, like, the big name, I suppose, for a second. You had a certainty, is that right to say, about... I'll tell you what, I'll play a little piece here. Music, of course, from Adele. I was just saying before that, though, that you had a certainty about Adele, didn't you? Funny thing is that, like, you know, you say, like, you know, she had an intangible but unmistakable aura of originality about her. You were thinking Joni Mitchell. Hey, that'd be good for XL. We don't have that kind of thing here. And she was thinking pop music.
Mm. And that was very reassuring in how she communicated that. Yeah. That she just was certain of her mind. That, you know, because by that time, XL had begun to be really trusted for music that was a little outside of the norm, but she saw that being with XL as her kind of, you know, backing her and that context would be really useful for her. I don't think she exactly felt that consciously. I thought it was more sort of unconscious, subconscious on her part, that she knew that coming from someone with the credibility meant that the music snobs wouldn't overlook her.
Yeah.
So then she had the potential to kind of appeal to that and to this very, very wide audience, which she was able to reach.
Do you know, funny thing is, like, it became a juggernaut, obviously, Adele, the biggest thing ever, frankly. Rolling in the Deep was the biggest new crossover song in history, you know, in the rock, R&B, Latin and dance charts, etc. 24 weeks number one in the US, absolutely huge, right? But surely, like, the stuff that came from that, this is XL now embedded. This is working brilliantly. This is now the future for us.
Well, I mean, I hope the Adele part of the book is seen as encouraging or even inspiring for any aspiring musicians. They're really who I had in mind. That here's this young woman from a very normal background, the working class background, and her whole career and how she's done everything is a masterclass, you know? So I wanted to break down the records, break down the music, break down the process and kind of say, you know, to people, and also hoping for people who maybe want to make different types of music or do a different type of thing, but to say, look, she's done this the way she wanted to do it.
Yeah.
It's worked on the biggest level.
I mean,
and I hope that can be encouraging.
And again, anecdotally, I want to ask a question here. Damon Albarn had a musical thing going with Adele. They tried something. And can I use the word disaster?
Yeah, I think you could, yeah.
What was it? What was the collaboration? I mean, did they go into the studio together?
Yeah, it was just attempting to do some music together. Many collaborations happen on a fairly open-ended way.
Yeah.
It's like you'll be in the room with one person who you've worked with for most of your life, and there'll be someone else coming in who you never met in your life, and then you see what happens. And like, I think the Adele and Damon scenario, they got in the studio, they tried doing some stuff together, and it didn't really work. Now, why is that? I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened, but two incredibly strong sort of force of nature personalities. That doesn't always work. I mean, I suppose if it does work out, you get Lennon and McCartney, but then you know, then that's not necessarily sustainable for that long a period. So that's a hard one, isn't it? Everyone's got a. It's all about chemistry, isn't it?
It is indeed. Well, listen, look, Richard, it's a fascinating book, and thank you so much for talking to us, Richard Russell. I'm not finished yet though, because I do want to ask one last one, and it is when you were in hospital, what kind of soup did Damon bring to you?
vegetable soup.
Very good.
But a really nice one, because of course vegetable soup can mean anything, right? That can mean some.
It's yesterday's slops.
That could mean that, or it could be the most delicious thing you've ever tasted. And Damon's a good cook, and that was a very, very thoughtful thing. He used to turn up and do that. You couldn't argue with that.
Well, listen, I'm very glad to hear that. Onwards and upwards with XL and with your own life. And there you go. That was Richard Russell, founder of XL Records, chatting about working with Gil Scott-Heron, The Streets, The White Stripes, Adele, and others.
You're listening to the best of Dave Fanning on 2FM.